can turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I really will try and preach in 15 minutes. And then we're going to see if any more people want to get baptized. I want to speak to all the men of Mooikloof, Waterkloof, and Boskloof. And I want to just talk. I want to talk into our externals. And I want to talk to this thing that we present to human beings. And I want to speak to proud men. And I want to speak to successful men and successful women. And I want to ask God to get underneath our success and get into the depths of our heart. Because God is doing an amazing thing right now in the church and in Pretoria. And we have a very pretentious life here. Especially in Pretoria East. It's a pretentious life. It's based on achievement. And it's based on success. And it's based on external appearances. I'm not speaking to everyone, but I'm just telling you how you get known and liked in Pretoria. And so we speak a lot about what we do and how we've accomplished and where we went to school and what rugby team we support. And all of us at the end of the day is meaningless in the light of God. And so let's read from 2 Kings chapter 5. And the context is quite amazing. 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a woman who's got nothing. She's very poor. Her husband has died. In 2 Kings 4, verse chapter, the second part of it, is a very rich woman who can't have a child. And God is very interested in the whole of Pretoria. Yeah. He's interested in the newspaper man who remembers names. He's interested in the wife whose husband has left her and she can't feed her family. That's what happens in 2 Kings 4. God is interested in that woman. He's also interested in the rich woman who can't fall pregnant. And she's got all the money in the world, but there's an emptiness inside of her. God is interested in that woman. And he's also interested in the successful man who's actually falling apart inside. And we're looking at those stories this morning. It says, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man. Say great man. In the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but... underline, but he had leprosy. Very successful guy, got a big business, just bought a new X5. He's really fit. He goes to the gym every day. He's looking sharp, but he's got leprosy. He's got a skin disease that's incurable, and eventually things start falling off your body. So basically, he's got all the external trappings, but he's starting to fall apart. I might be just speaking to two people today. Maybe they're just visitors. Maybe they're standing in the stores watching us preach today. It looks like you're all okay, but actually you're falling apart. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. That's 70 kgs of gold. I don't know what the gold price is now, but tens of millions of rands. You see, friends, in Pretoria East, we think we can throw money at it and it'll get better. And maybe you're sitting here today and you think, well, I just keep throwing money at my... condition, keep throwing money at my sin, it'll get better. You can throw as much money as you like. You can never, ever heal the thing that is empty in your heart. Ever. It's impossible. It's a lie. And the more commercialized the church becomes appealing to consumers, we start to think that the zuzier our buildings are and the better the program is, the better people will get. You cannot heal sin with money. And you can present whatever picture you like, but some of you are sitting here and your lives are falling apart and you're meant to be here this morning because God really cares about you. And God's really committed to you. And God wants to see you clean and well and better. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. You see, what we do, friends, is we drop names, throw money, write letters, use our success to try and get healed, and none of it results in anything. We use our high connections. We've got connections with other connections to meet with the connections and throw some money and drop the names. And I know this guy and I know the minister of finance and I know all these guys. They can do nothing for the incurable thing inside of your heart. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped it. Can you imagine, eh? Modern day translation. He arrived with his blue light brigade. Five guys opening the door, waiting to meet the prophet, and he doesn't come out of his house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, say, go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry. Say angry. Some of you are being angry now, even as we're seeing people baptized, because it doesn't fit your paradigm. I thought that he would surely come out to me. Surely he'll come to me. I'm important in Pretoria. Surely the church will come to me. Surely the man of God will run after me. Surely with my success and my business and my sporting ability, surely he will come to me. No, surely he won't. God wants you to come to him. And stand and call on the name of his God. Wave his hand over the spot and cure me. Say me. Of my leprosy. Say my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and he went off in a rage. I hope some of you don't leave here angry today, but some of you might. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan seven times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean. Say clean, like that of a young boy. The four greatest needs of human beings, are to be loved, to be free, to be clean, and to be whole. To be loved, to be free, to be clean, and to be whole. Those are the four greatest needs of human beings. And the church has got the answer to all four of those problems. And everybody who walks into this place that is not one of those things, if we preach properly and we minister properly and we look after them properly, they should leave this place loved, clean, free, and whole. What that young guy just said, he said, when I left the pool, the burden had come off me. He had been set free and he had been cleansed. Some of the people who have been baptized say they feel clean again on the inside. Not these dirty marks, because the dirty marks have been left on Christ. What is God doing? Why the scripture, friends? What is God doing? We have all sorts of external trappings of success. We present all sorts of external pictures to people, especially in Pretoria East, and we don't actually deal with the real issue, which is leprosy in our hearts. And if we just do what God tells us to do, we can be clean. The problem in this text with Naaman, when you're successful, there are three major things that drive you. The first thing he said is, I thought. Say, I thought. I was reading an article this week of a successful financial man who completely dominates at a dinner party around education. You see, when we're successful in one area of our lives, our opinion becomes spread out over every area of our lives. And so he's sitting at a dinner table with educators who are trained to teach, trained headmasters, 30 years of experience, but because he's got money, his opinion dictates the whole evening. And so we start to have opinions about rugby, about money. We even have opinions about the church, how the church should run and what we should do and how Rory should dress and how loud the music should be. And these opinions just fly all over the place. The reason, friends, is because you haven't had the internal directive of your heart change. You've got all the trappings of success and you think you can throw your opinions wildly. And Pretoria East has got to be one of the most opinionated places in the whole world. And what actually needs to happen is we need to bow our knee and humble ourselves to the Word of God. The second thing he says, he should have come out to me. Surely he should have come to me. In the consumeristic church, the church must come to me. They must look after my family, my marriage. They must come and minister to me. Friends, we will never change the world while personal advantage dictates our lives. Come and heal me of my leprosy. It's all about me. He is in the center of his own world. And God says, I've got to deal with your leprosy. You might be important. You might be a fancy soldier. You might have had great success. You might have a whole cavalier of cars with blue lights flashing. But you are not the most important thing in this world. Jesus is the most important thing in the world. And we have to get ourselves out of the world. And friends, as there's Mona and his wife Lindy step onto the stage, they're taking me out of the center. They're putting Jesus in the middle. And I say, in my nice dress, with my amazing traditions, I'm still putting Jesus first. The third thing that we see in the scripture is personal preference. He says, God just said, just go and baptize in that river. He said, listen, I come from a really nice place. I live in Mooikloof, and we've got two streams that come through Mooikloof, and they're these beautiful, wonderful streams. Why can't I just go and baptize in those streams? Because that's not what the Word of God said. And so we all have our preference. We all like to do it certain ways. But God didn't say do it that way. He said, I want you to baptize in the Jordan 7 times. He says, but I want to baptize in this river. And he walks away in a rage. Friends, this church, I trust, and all churches will seriously offend 3 things. Your personal opinion, your personal advantage, and your personal preference. It will offend it. It will get in your face. And one of the reasons is because it comes from a place of a sinful heart. You know, the amazing heroes of this story is not some king who writes to another king who have actually got no power. The heroes of this story are actually 3 servants. One servant girl who told her master to go and get healed. One servant who walked out with a message. And the 3rd servant, his own servant, who said, please, man, just do what he said. Just do what he said. And friends, if we give a little bit of thought to this text, we've just had that family from Enkhia Moroleta in Afghanistan. Mother's a doctor, father and 2 children in a house in Afghanistan. And raiding parties like this raiding party came into their home and obliterated the daughter and the son and the father. And now that mum, I don't know her, that mum, that doctor has come back to Pretoria. Is she going to be bitter? Which I doubt she will be. Or is she going to be servant-hearted? Because that's what happened to this young girl. You see, we just read raiding party. This young girl was probably 13 or 14 years old in her house. And a raiding party with guns and knives and grenades broke into her house, probably killed her parents, might have even raped her mother, absolutely obliterated, killed her family, taken her off and stuck her in a foreign land. And in that foreign land, instead of sitting and saying, I wish my master's legs would fall off bone by bone, little piece by little piece, he's got leprosy, and she could have sat in her room saying, let him frot. And yet in her heart, redemption is in her heart. She says, I know where my master can get healed. You see, friends, unless, it doesn't matter what experiences we have been through, unless we adopt a servant-hearted nature to Pretoria, we will not see the important men and newspaper men healed and restored. You see, this was a great servant girl. Elijah had a great servant man. Naaman had great servants, but the greatest servant in the whole Bible is called Jesus. Not that he see people killed around him, he was killed himself. And at the end of it, he came to serve us. He came to deal with not just our externals, but our internals. And he said these simple words, not get baptized in the Jordan 7 times. He just said these simple words, repent and be baptized. That's all he said. Repent and be baptized. And so the word over this church right now, it's not a fancy word, not a very demanding word, but it's a difficult word. It's simply this, repent. That means get on your knees and say sorry and ask for forgiveness for your sin. And maybe, friends, you've repented once before, but actually maybe some things have crept into your heart. And you've got leprosy. You've got all the external trappings of success, all the external trappings of looking Lani. But you know bitterness has crept into your heart. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. That's the word of God. And when we just obey that, Not some fancy thing. When we just obey that, we'll be clean and whole and free and loved. In Jesus' name. Amen.